You gonna be outside during this?
Oh yeah.
You're whatever. You're an idiot, man. I don't know how you do it.
Symphony in the foothills.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. Is it just seeing a symphony? You're not gonna be go hiking and.
No.
Okay.
No,
well, that sounds good.
This is that annual deal they have down the Flint Hills.
So yeah. Okay.
It's really cool. You know me, I was very skeptical first. I'm going, Kansas City Symphony is going to be at some guy's ranch somewhere in Flint. I said, how does this work?
I think you had an alternative motive there.
I might have, yeah. Yes, dear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And so we did it a couple years ago, and we have been going ever since. I was blown away. Just put it on your bucket list if you haven't done it.
Really?
Take it from a city kid.
Okay.
I was like very skeptical, and all that is awesome.
Okay.
It's really cool. They sell it out every year.
I'll have to go check it out.
It's really cool.
Is it okay if it's not tell them your age that I get there?
Yeah, absolutely. They have families go and whole thing, kids.
Really?
Everything. Yeah, and there's educational things about the Flint Hills and what they are. They have guys down there that have telescopes.
What are they, Frank?
You can look right at the sun with some of their telescopes. It's really, they do all kinds of little educational classes.
What are the Flint Hills, Frank?
The Flint Hills are the Flint Hills. They have Flint in them. That's what they're the Flint Hills.
I don't know that I really needed it.
They're the rolling pastures.
They're
the rolling pastures of eastern Kansas.
Before you get to
the foothills of the Rocky Mountains as you head west.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And it is the Sea of Green, as the original pioneers when they first saw it just went. It's like an ocean of green.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful place.
I've been down to the Flint Hills before.
Yeah, I'm sure you
it's
have.
Nice. It's cool. It ain't like Maui.
No, it's not.
And you they know didn't what? Know Maui exists.
And you know what? They aren't.
That's
they
right.
aren't going to tell you it's like Maui either. Okay, they're saying, not going to try to convince you.
It's like, you know, you're like, oh, it's beautiful. I'm like, whoa, whoa. I don't want anyone
it's
like,
not
you
Maui.
Know what, honey? Get in the car. We're going. Frank Bull says it's
we're
beautiful.
Trust me.
Wanted to qualify where it is on the beauty scale. I've spent some time. Family used to have some land in the foothills and pasture land and stuff. So I've actually been out there and it is pretty.
Frank Baker.
I would use the word pretty.
Very historical, right?
And there's a little bit of Clark Griswold.
Okay.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. We're right out.
Yeah. Frank Baker got the nickname Home Run before Babe Ruth showed up. He wouldn't have gotten it afterwards.
Yeah. They discovered Maui later and downgraded the Flint Hills from beautiful to pretty.
That's cool.
To pretty.
Maybe we shouldn't have called him
pretty.
Home Run.
Yeah. Went from, wow, an ocean of green to, it's pretty.
Yeah.
You know, that's neat. It's neat. It is. I'm not trying to hate on the state I live in. So, you know, got nothing against Kansas. If you're out there, big fan of the state myself, and Missouri. One of them rare guys. You are too. You don't have any axe to grind. When you've spent time elsewhere.
I love being here. Yes, absolutely. I love being here.
Or you were born elsewhere.
Left.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah. When you're born elsewhere, you can appreciate something and you don't get caught up in the rivalry.
Sure.
Between the two. So, you know, both states are great. I have nothing negative to say about either state. I just wanted to qualify.
Okay.
Because I've had a number of emails where people are like, you know, Frank said this and I went and checked it out and he's just wrong.
I don't think
that's Frank told me the Rocky Mountains, you can't even see the tops of it. And that's not true. I could see the tops. I mean, I definitely could see that. I drove all the way out there, and he's wrong. I'm envisioning the character of John Candy in Vacation.
Yes.
Moose Out Front should have told you. Park's closed. Like I'm thinking that's the guy emailing me with, like, I went there, and I could see the tops. He was wrong. Frank Bull is with us, the godfather of Kansas City sports. And, Frank, we were talking about quarterbacks under Andy Reid.
Yes, I heard you.
And
I was listening.
I think when you hear the list, now, granted, Nick Foles, this is his time in Kansas City. His 36 of 55, 3 TDs, no INTs is on this list. We said, what's a number? So we can be like, okay, the guy didn't just go 7 of 8. You know, like, oh, let's throw 50 attempts. So it was a random number. If you eliminate that, you would add then Jeff Garcia, or is Jeff Garcia the fifth one? Yeah, he's the fifth one. Then another McNabb season would pop up here.
Yeah.
But I do think it's of note. Five best passer rating seasons, minimum 50 attempts. If we bump it to 100, then you can put McNabb in for Foles.
Yeah.
But it's Foles, McNabb, Smith, Vic, Garcia.
Yeah.
Five different guys.
That's good.
And you look at his seasons, if you rank it by passer rating in order, here are all the quarterbacks, right? I'll give you all 30 quarterbacks. Foles, McNabb, Smith, Vic, Jeff Garcia, McNabb, Smith, Smith, McNabb, Smith, McNabb, Smith, Cobb, McNabb, 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 Vic, McNabb, McNabb, Foles, Vic, McNabb, Cobb, Feely, Doug Peterson, Feely,
coach now,
Vince Young,
Norm Van Brocklin,
McNabb, and then that's his rookie season, by the way, Mike McMahon, and Coy Detmer.
Good Lord.
That's every quarterback that have thrown 50 passes for Andy Reid in a single season.
For the record, to qualify for the passer rating, you have to have 100 attempts. I just looked that up.
So, number one, that tells you how successful a coach Andy Reid is, because he's had the opportunity to be in the league long enough to coach that many quarterbacks.
Yeah, so if we were to make it 100 attempts, mm-hmm. we could knock out a Kevin Cobb season, the Nick Foles season, and Coy Detmer. It'd just come down to 27 guys. But, you know, for the most part, there's really only been a handful of bad seasons. And one was Vince Young, who the league decided couldn't really play. And certainly his commitment to the game at that point was very much in question. McNabb's rookie year, Mike McMahon, who was like a sixth or seventh round rookie out of Rutgers.
Well, what was McNabb's rookie year? Touchdowns, interceptions.
Okay, that's a good one. 1999, he played in 12 games, started six. Now, keep in mind, Patrick Mahomes is not a rookie.
Right. Well, how about his first full season as a quarterback under Andy Reid?
That would have been 2000. So let me see. I'm not looking at McNabb stats. I'm looking at this sheet.
I'm sorry.
So 2000 McNabb is his second worst season. So he did continue to get better and better and better.
Uh-huh.
16 games started.
Uh-huh.
Completed 58% of his passes for 3,400 yards, uh-huh. 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, a 78 passer rating.
There you are. I would say that as the game evolves,
and as Andy Reid, theoretically, that was Andy Reid's, second year as a coach?
Mm-hmm.
He took
the
job in 99.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was his second year as a coach.
So he's young with a young quarterback.
Quite the weapons around him that Mahomes has.
No. And so I would say absolutely no doubt Chiefs fans should be very confident that the worst-case scenario floor for a Patrick Mahomes season is that McNabb season.
21-13.
Which was 3,400 yards, 21-13, with a 78 passer rating. And, you know, I actually think Alex Smith's first year with Andy Reid, which was 13. What was Alex Smith's worst year with Reid? Let's find his. It was 13. It was his first year with Reid.
Yeah.
Was Alex Smith's first year. If you want to go with Alex Smith's first year, 15 games started, 3,300, 23-7. With a passer rating of 89.
But he was a veteran quarterback.
Though. He was a veteran quarterback that had finally turned his career around with about, 18 starts under Jim Harbaugh.
He had some starts under his belt.
He was, but he'd also been passed up by a third-round draft pick
right
in his second year. Mm-hmm. That they'd been like, no, we're sticking with this guy. So that's why I think it's going to be real interesting. If Alex Smith goes and sucks for the Redskins, what's going to be the narrative on Reid? I don't really care about debating Alex Smith.
Right.
Other people can continue to do it. I don't care about that anymore.
Andy Reid will put you in the best possible position to succeed.
I bring up Alex Smith only for the purposes of evaluating Andy Reid, who's here. They've made the decision, and Alex Smith has moved on. But what will we say? This will be Alex Smith and Donovan McNabb that back-to-back have played and played at a high level and were thought of as really good passers and have had, Donovan McNabb had a season that was better than Alex Smith's year, or comparable if you want to, his team, instead of going 9-6, right?
Right.
I do like the moving target with Alex Smith. It's not stats, it's wins and losses. Well, he was 9-6 last year as a starter, right? Because one of the wins came from Patrick Mahomes at the end.
Denver.
But his year, his best year, which was statistically his best year with Andy Reid, he completed 67%, 4,000 yards, 26-5, with a passer rating of 104.7.
Highest rated passer in the league.
Right, and went 9-6. McNabb's 2004 season with Andy Reid, he also started only 15 games. He completed 64% for 3,900, 31 touchdowns, 8 INTs, and a passer rating of 104.7, and led the Eagles to a 13-2 record.
Right.
So, somewhere between those two seasons. And I think your window is somewhere in the Alex Smith pantheon. Like, I'm going to be disappointed if he floors out below 3,300 yards. I'll be disappointed if he has less than 23 touchdowns. Smith had years that passer rating made him better, but Smith's touchdown years were in order: 23, 18, 20. Boy, where's his 16?
His first full season, 16-16, as a starter in San Francisco. He was 16 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. We looked this up the other day.
Here he is. I'm sorry. Yeah, and then Smith had 15. So his touchdown years went 23. They went 18, 20, 15, 26.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be disappointed if he has less than 20 touchdowns, which Alex Smith did, twice?
Twice.
And had 20 or less three times.
Yeah.
Won't you be stunned if Patrick Mahomes, who did not throw a touchdown against the Denver Broncos, it should be noted, but if he has 20 touchdowns or less, won't you be disappointed?
You know what? I don't.
I will be.
Okay. Absolutely.
I will be.
Well, here's the deal.
I won't give up on the guy and say I'll be disappointed.
It was on Bovada or somebody. Somebody gave the odds of how many touchdown passes he'll throw. I think the over-under is 21.5. So, you would
hard
take over. Right.
Hard over. That's a thing that if they don't know they probably take up to about a $200 bet. I'll take it now.
Even
$200 right now.
What was the guy, Gary, who'd we have on, did the projection?
Gary Davenport.
Even he wasn't terribly high on Mahomes, had him at 23.
Yeah, he had him at 23.
19 would be.
And I think you look at the coach and you look at all the weapons around him, you go, of course. And I think you also look at the defense. He's gonna with that defense, if they do not get any better, or they're still walling around here in the bottom of the NFL. Wait a minute. Then he is going to have to throw more because he's going to have to keep catching or trying to stay ahead of the team they're playing because the defense can't stop them.
Right. But you want to know where they get to 21.5 for the number? Because really those weapons, Sammy Watkins went there, but I would really like everybody to pump the brakes on what kind of weapon he is.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because he's 750-6 on average for 4 years.
Right.
Right? So, like, people are acting like they've added Michael Irvin in his prime or something here. I think you always overpay in free agency, and you're paying for what you think he can be and that you can do better with him. Right? But I think part of why you think you can do better with him is because you have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I'm reminded of what Peter Vermes said about, like, hey, I talked to him about why haven't you made a bigger, go after a big money signing. He goes, because we haven't had until this time now, this year, we haven't had the guys in place that can play with those guys, right? You get some great striker, that's fantastic. But if we can't get the ball down the field to him in position to strike, we're wasting our money. The guy's going to stand there and watch us crap the ball around at midfield. We needed to get the pieces. He said, Elie was a huge piece for us because he gets the ball out of the defensive end into the offensive, and so the strikers can go do some things.
Yes.
Because if I don't have him, we're not out spending this money on these guys because it's money I'm just going to throw away. Now, we can get the ball out to Russell where he's one-on-one or one-on-two like he had and score. Well, I think it's the same thing with Watkins. I don't think they sign Watkins if Alex Smith is here. Because, like, he's not going to get him the ball, so why are we going to go spend the money?
Right.
I think you draft Patrick Mahomes and say, we're giving him the keys. Okay, now let's go get this guy because this kid will throw him the ball. And I think that's where it is. But my point is, with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and whatever else the wide receivers were, no Kareem Hunt. Well, Smith's TD totals went to 26. But the year before with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, he had 15.
Right. Some talk, yeah.
15.
That's it.
And that was in 13. That was in 16. That was his fourth year in the system. He threw 15 touchdowns.
No.
And his first year did not throw one to a wideout, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right. Which is almost impossible to do. But the other thing is, too, I think for them, Sammy Watkins, they've got
to
get Sammy
Dwayne
off.
To talk about, we like setting records around here. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Huh?
But for Sammy Watkins' deal, you got early on, he's got to get off to a good start for Kansas City. Because then all of a sudden, because nobody knows what he is, and so they're going to sort of go, well, he hasn't been all that, so we'll single cover him because we got Tyreek on the other side. Might have to single cover him too, or over under, do something with him. So we can't cover them all. So let's see what Sammy can do. If Sammy gets off to a great start, then all of a sudden, now the defense coordinator is going, good Lord, what am I going
to
do with this?
Well, there's no doubt. And I expect Andy Reid. I expect Sammy Watkins, if healthy, to have
a good year.
A really good year, yeah. And the touchdowns are where I think we're going to see it.
Yeah, so
I think we're
going to
see him you know, throw the ball. And that's where I do think, you know, that is a weapon that Alex Smith didn't have in the end zone. But I also think Travis Kelce has been ready to catch balls in the end zone that Alex Smith wasn't willing to throw.
Right.
And so, there's going to be a lot of opportunity. I want to take a break. I want to talk about something that we haven't really discussed yet. It's been on my list for a while that I think is important, and that is the contract negotiation of Aaron Rodgers and what it will mean down the road and what one of the reports are that he is asking for at Green Bay that I think if Patrick Mahomes is going to be what the Chiefs, and we'll talk about some of the hype. I also want to get into Kareem Hunt being alleged to have thrown a punch.
The first chink in the armor.
Yeah. Talk about that when we come back with Frank Bohl here on the program.
All right, the Jazz end of the hour answer. Who was the very first Washington Redskins player to have 1,000 yards receiving in a season? Very first to do it.
This is his birthday today or something?
It is.
Does he have a local tie?
No, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Then who cares?
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Who cares? So a lot of guys that
I think
don't
care about. There's some interesting
Charlie fact. Taylor.
Bobby Mitchell.
Nailed it.
Did it in 1962. Here's what's amazing. I didn't realize this. He had 1,380 yards in 62. That was the first one.
Yeah.
1,436 the next year. That record stood till 2005.
Oh, wow.
Santana Moss had 1,483 in 2005, and that's the only year, receiving year, that's better than Bobby Mitchell's in the history of the Redskins.
He was a running back, wasn't he, originally?
Primarily.
And yeah, so he caught that out of the backfield.
Yep. He lost in the shuffle with the great backs of the 60s, Jim Brown and Jim Taylor. And guys
played
like
with Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Early on with the Browns.
In fact, he was the one that told the story that the head coach would yell at Jim Brown, would yell at Bobby Mitchell when he was talking to Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Because you're making this bus late with your. Now, Jim Brown knows he is talking to him, but he's looking at me because he can't talk down Jim Brown in front of the rest of the team.
Yeah, Jim Brown just wouldn't even take it. Jim Brown probably get up and punch him in his face. Paul Brown would yell at Bobby Mitchell to make the point about what Jim Brown was doing.
And Jim Brown
he knew
did
what
not
it was,
care.
And he just took it.
Jim Brown did not care. Okay.
Yeah. He was not going to be told anything. So. Very interesting. We're talking to Frank Bohl, another guy who's not going to be told anything. That's how he rolls.
Not anything I remember.
I get to Aaron Rodgers' contract here in a minute, Frank, but Kareem Hunt, the news coming out that he punched a man. Now, this is I don't want to make a big deal out of this because the guy's not filing charges, right. And you have to ask yourself, why isn't he filing charges? You've got an NFL running back that punched you in your face. A lot of people will be thinking payday. This guy's like, I just want to move on. I want to move on with my life. Like, really? Or you started some crap, and when it all comes out, you're going to be busted. Like,
that's it.
You know, I'm sure the Chiefs are doing their due diligence and have no comment right now, and we want to see what all it is. But if the guy's not pressing charges, don't you kind of feel like – and I'm not trying to be a Kareem Hunt apologist. I said this story. He was very different in how he carried himself before the season and after.
Mm-hmm.
At the Super Bowl, Kareem Hunt had arrived, if you know what I mean. Because I interviewed him at training camp, and you're like,
nicest guy ever.
And he had sponsors paying him. That's what, you know, when we bring those guys on to the Super Bowl, I think everybody knows it. And they're like, oh, I love Pepsi and it's great. Yeah. And I just can't get enough. He's wearing this Pepsi leather jacket and all this. So like, yeah, it's great. Yeah. I mean, they're there. They're getting paid, right? There was a Pepsi award he was up for. And all
avocados,
three guys.
Avocados, Pepsi.
Yeah, exactly. And
they're
all
hawking something.
And so we want to talk to Kareem Hunt, so we play ball and we talk about Pepsi for a little bit and we get to talk football with Kareem Hunt. But he before he was clearly not getting paid to sit down with us at training camp.
Sure.
And was very affable. But up there, it was like we were annoying him. I'm like, your people came over and asked us to put you on.
To interview. Yeah, especially back to Kansas City. Absolutely.
You know? And this is, I just want to point this out, no charges are being filed, but this is the second incident.
Yes, it is.
Do people remember the one that went down in the hotel room? This is the second incident. He has not been charged, right, with anything, as I understand. Not on this one, but even on that first one.
Right.
But he's now been around a situation you don't want to be involved in this one. somehow fisticuffs occurred for the second time in one summer. I hope this is just bad run of luck. And he's a hell of a guy. And he's like, all right, you know, this can't keep happening to me. But this, you know, I don't think he's going to be suspended. I don't think there's going to be anything that comes of it. But if you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you're not going, how are you in these bad situations twice in one summer?
Yeah.
After, by the way, I want to point out, he was suspended at Toledo, I believe, in his junior year.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a history of something.
This is not a coincidence or a run of bad luck.
Got to pull him in and say,
a kid with a temper.
Kareem, we got to chat for a bit.
Well, I have no idea what the issue is. I just know that you now have a suspension at Toledo and twice. What's so concerning is it's not 3 years apart. Like, that should have been the, oh man, I don't want to throw away. I'm you know, got endorsement deals that are there. Yeah, I'm on a third year, even a third round pick contract's good money.
Real good money.
It's more than any of his buddies who played at Toledo who are not playing in the NFL are making.
Sure.
Right? I maybe there's a couple of guys that are already hotshot stockbrokers a year later. I doubt it. But who's making more than what's his contract? Probably $800,000-$900,000 after $1.5 million signing bonus. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't want to screw that up. I mean, forget about, no, he's not on a $15 million. Franchise player tag like Le'Veon Bell is, but you don't want to jerk up an $800,000 contract.
Especially when you're in the NFL and you know it could end at any time. I mean, it could end tomorrow, just like that. It could end at OTAs, let alone during a game, during the regular season. I mean, the shelf life of an NFL running back ain't long, okay?
575, is that what it is? Yeah, I was bringing that up to give the exact number.
And the other thing is, too, okay, you get in this altercation with this guy, and you throw the punch, and you hit the guy in the face. I mean,
average salary, $821 when you throw on the signing bonus, which, by the way, if he got thrown off the team because of violence, they would expect that signing bonus back. So rule of thumb, you can say that the guy is risking $821,000 a year on average. Base salary of $575 this year, $670 next year, $740 the year after.
Yeah, so, you know, you throw a punch, break a hand. You know, anything you could do. And the other thing is to put yourself in that situation where you are in your career and all the positive stuff that's going on in your life, the way you're looked at in the NFL, getting the contract, you just go, what are you doing? Yeah. What in God's name are you doing? Plus, number two is, where did it happen? Ohio. Ohio Resort.
Yeah, it's a resort.
And I'm wondering.
There's an island in Lake Erie in between Toledo and Cleveland.
Okay.
That's where it's at.
Okay.
Just off the shore.
I'm just wondering.
About the same distance between, I think it's Toledo and Cleveland.
Put in Bay, Ohio.
Yeah, put in Bay, Ohio. Put hyphen, I-N hyphen Bay, B-A-Y, Ohio is the name of the town.
Never heard of it.
No, I hadn't either, but.
Never. Ever.
It's just like, it's you write it down. It's of note, but the Chiefs better be taking some serious time here to be like, Kareem, what are you doing? This is two times.
Time for a sit down.
I mean, Andy Reid, he needs to be sitting in Andy Reid's office.
They're on the verge of, and the guy you got playing quarterback now, and everybody's looking so positive on the offensive side of football, which is your side of the football. You're going to benefit from all this stuff. What are you doing? You know, just it makes no sense. But sometimes they get full of themselves. They just don't have the mentality to cope with that. And they start to believe everything they hear.
Suddenly they're a target. I mean,
all of a sudden now they're a target.
At a club, sure. Hey, Kareem Hunt, whatever, looked at my girlfriend or whatever, I'm going to take a shot at
some smart
NFL guy.
Yeah, make my name.
Punch.
Yeah, punching an NFL guy.
Whoop, missed. Took one to the nose. I'm good. You want to press charges? Nah, I'm fine.
I'm waiting for somebody getting his ear. Unless all the witnesses are going, that guy deserves to get punched in the face. You know, one of those deals. But, or some lawyer comes to him and says, hey, do you think you deserve to get hit in the face? Maybe we could make some money here.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that there was no arrest
and the guy's
not pressing charges tells me that.
Yeah.
But as you said, this is now two things.
It doesn't matter. You still got it. You can't throw a punch at a guy. You just got to
push
it off and go, you know, he's not, you know, questioning your manhood. You just got to let it go, man. You're an NFL player, and just let it go.
Aaron Rodgers, in his contract, of which he already is smartly waited for Matt Ryan to get his deal done so he can now top Matt Ryan's. Wherever Matt Ryan is, he's got to be north of it. Matt Ryan was going to be north of Matt Stafford, right? So he is in that position right now, and everyone's been like, well, he's good. Let's wait and see what he gets because he's going to get more than him. Yes, he is going to get more than him. We've all known that. What we didn't know and what is being alleged right now is that Aaron Rodgers is asking for opt-outs in his contract the way baseball players have them.
Oh, wow.
The NFL has not had that, right? They don't have the guaranteed money that baseball does, but the quarterback position is the one spot. Kirk Cousins ended up with a three-year deal. He wanted it fully guaranteed, so it's only a three-year deal with the Vikings, which everyone's like, well, I mean, why would he only take a three-year? Because the only thing that really matters is the guaranteed years anyway.
Right.
So he's now taken what Kirk Cousins did, and notice Kirk Cousins was smart, like, yeah, I'm a quarterback. Yeah, football's a rough game, but usually quarterbacks don't get career-ending injuries. And so he gambled and rolled the dice and played through two franchise tags, picking up huge deals. And now he's got 3 years guaranteed with the Vikings, but at the end of 3 years, he's still he
can go back and do it again.
Now, if he sucks, he's going to have problems.
Yeah, but he's already
got his
money.
If you believe in yourself. But I think this is going to be really interesting to see if the Packers give on this.
What are the opt-outs?
Pay that man his money.
That's a good movie, brother. But what are his opt-outs? Well, what is he?
Well, we don't know. We just know that he is asking to opt to have the opt-outs. 5 years is the max length on an NFL contract now, right?
So you can opt out and become a free agent?
Yeah.
Is that what he's asking for? You just become
a series of player options.
So he wants basically the Eric Hosmer deal, where Hosmer's got it's an 8-year, $144 million deal with $100 million over the first 5 years, and he can opt out and be a free agent. So if he's played really well and thinks he can get a lot, or he doesn't opt out and he gets those 3 years, $39 million are just his. It's his choice. So it totally, he's guaranteed 144. Well, with Aaron Rodgers, with the quarterback, and with 100, was it 140? It's 5 years, $150 million on Matt Ryan with 90 some odd million guaranteed. Well, he's going to look for over $100 million guaranteed, and he's going to look for the opt out. And if he's wanting to opt out, there's some people that have said that he's wanting to opt out every year. Like basically, more than the LeBron deal. LeBron signs one-year deals, so every year he's got an opportunity to look around.
Right.
Rodgers wants the security of not opting out, I get paid, probably over $100 million guaranteed. You'd probably imagine five for $165 million. He's going to want 10% more than Matt Ryan and probably deserves 20% more than Matt Ryan, to be honest with you. Maybe he's going to ask for $36 million per. That'd be five for $180 million. With 100 plus million guaranteed, which would mean probably at least the first 3 years guaranteed, because Cousins has three fully guaranteed years. Mm-hmm. So I think you can plan on 99 to 108 million somewhere. Let's call it, and you know, because I think 96 million is the top right now on guaranteed money. He's going to look at 100, you know, basically the first 3 years being guaranteed, mm-hmm. and then being able to walk away. And maybe even walk away after 2 years. Like I'm, he can ask for after 1 year, but I'm sure the Packers will say, no, we want to make sure that you are here for at least 2 years. But the reason I think this is of note and why you need to root for the Packers to stand their ground is if Patrick Mahomes is good, this is what the Chiefs are going to be facing in 4 years.
Yep, exactly.
Really, three. Well,
almost every team that has a better than average quarterback, because quarterback is the game.
Yeah.
Quarterback is the game.
Yeah, to confirm, $94.5 million is Matt Ryan's guaranteed. So that is the number one by a fair chunk.
And he'll probably want $100 million guaranteed.
What's Kirk Cousins?
I'm sorry. This isn't in order. 84, so it's only $10 million more. I thought this was in order. Okay. It's listed.
Thank you.
Why would they have him fourth?
Because you got to see, I'm trying to bring that up. They rank it by different things. Average dollars, guaranteed. Here, guaranteed at signing.
There it is, 84 seconds.
Guaranteed at signing. 94.5 for Matt Ryan, 84 for Cousins. Stafford, 60.5. So you can see how that's really jumped over the last mm-hmm. couple of years. Yeah. And so you're going to be looking at a guy who's looking at.
He's going 100 million.
Yeah. If you go by average per year, Ryan at 30 million, Cousins at 28, Garoppolo at 27.5.
You see who's fourth on that guaranteed list? Alex Smith.
Yeah.
55.
Yeah, $55 million for Alex Smith guaranteed with the Washington Redskins. So, I mean, that's what's coming for Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is a really big...
If he becomes a quarterback, everybody thinks he's
I hope that he arrives at that point, because that means he's been,
same here. It means he's been
a badass for...
It does.
Long. Yeah.
It does, but...
I dream of him...
But...
Lofty contract expectations.
You dream of that, but I also dream of the Packers holding their ground and not starting this trend.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because if Patrick Mahomes, who, well, he turned down his, you know, endorsements this past year. Well, that sounds good, right? Except for the fact that how many endorsements did a non-starting quarterback in the NFL playing in Kansas City really have?
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned this on Sunday Sound Off Sunday night. He did do tickets or less. He didn't turn them all down. He did tickets or less. In this town, which I'm fine with. I don't care if he did or didn't do endorsements. I think
there's
it's an interesting subject. But
car dealer or a restaurant or a couple someplace.
Oh, he's got him,
give him some cash.
The reason why I think this is important is because he is not, unless he's the greatest quarterback of all time, LeBron James is the only guy, and maybe we'll talk about this with in our next hour with Kurt Heelan about where LeBron might end up. But LeBron James is probably the only guy who it really doesn't matter where he plays. You know, he's playing at Cleveland. His deals are international deals. You know, he is an international superstar.
Oh, yes.
I don't know that Aaron Rodgers, because the game of football is only played here. Basketball is much more of a global game. Mm-hmm. And he's played in the Olympics. There's no Olympics to play in the NFL. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers. I mean, LeBron James in that top 100 athlete list, of which there are no baseball players on, by the way. LeBron James is up there in like the top five or six with Lionel Messi, Neymar, and Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I don't know where Brady is. He's got to be the highest on that list. I'll look for it. But if this starts, Kansas City, if you're not an international superstar, then you want to make endorsement money. And we're not New York. We're not L.A.
Right.
And so if he can opt out and hold the team hostage every year, you know, one of the things the Chiefs have got is him on the small cap number. Well, one of the things you get when you sign those five-year mega deals, hopefully, is that the market has blown past you at least by year three, definitely by year four. And in year five, yeah, it's the last year of the deal, but he's not quite so expensive. You have a lot more cap room. That's going to be your next best window after this rookie contract. You know, to have the most cap room to put players around the guys. So if he can opt out every year and keep resetting with, okay, I'm still the highest paid quarterback. I mean, the beauty of that deal is at one point when the contract was signed, you know, Andrew Luck was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, right, with an average salary of $24.5 million. Well, now he's, you know, $5.5 million cheaper than Matt Ryan and going to be $8, $9 million cheaper than Aaron Rodgers. That's $8, $9 million more the Colts have to spend money around Luck that the Packers won't have. So if you can jump to the top every year and you got one of those top guys, man, that's just going to – every year having a bidding war for Aaron Rodgers is going to blow up the quarterback market.
Yes, it will. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your salary cap. It'll destroy your salary cap.
So
– and then the NFL changed the rules about the salary cap. Make sure they
it's always a give and a take and an ebb and a flow, but I do think the contract's significant. I mean, I think whether or not they cave on this, and I do think it's inevitable, because what are the Packers going to do? If Aaron Rodgers comes out and
they're
says, I'm holding out,
give him what he wants.
What will they do?
Give him what he wants. He's going to get what he wants.
I mean,
that's probably the one of two or three guys that could. You just have to go, all right.
And then the system changes forever.
Yeah.
And he knows that. He probably is president because, like, what are they going to do? Say no? I'm going to ask for this.
It's one of the reasons why it would have been nice if they could have, you know, fumbled along to around 500 without him, you know, and stayed in the race to where it'd be like, no, listen, we're a 500 club without you. We make a couple of moves.
But no.
They knew, no. They sucked.
Toilet.
You sucked.
Swirling.
We'll take a break. Come back. Frank Bull is with us. We'll get some Frank opinions next here in the program. Frank Bull is with us, the godfather of Kansas City sports. Frank Bull.
Oh.
This older gentleman. Nice guy. I'm a fan. joins us every Wednesday in the program. And right now it is time for some Frank opinions. Curtis, where do we start, my friend?
Oh, no.
If the playoffs were not a possibility, like the Royals team currently, if they're not
Was your mic
in the
on?
Hunt, it wasn't to begin with.
It is now, though.
If the playoffs were not a possibility and the Royals were being no-hit late in a game, would you root for the no-hitter as a Royals
fan? Yes, 100%. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to say they say no.
Sure, they would. I want to see history. I always want to see history.
I would want to see history. I'm just thinking Royals fans are pitching no-hitter against my team and giving history now.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah.
62-38 say no. And that takes me back to one of those one-hit shutouts.
Liars.
One of those one-hit shutouts we talked about earlier was a game. Scott Baker was the one that did it before Carrasco. Twins, Danny and I were doing post-game. Ninth inning, Mike Sweeney breaks up the no-hitter with one out, and from the control room, we hear Russ Pausch go, "Yeah!" And we thought, you've got to be kidding me. You were rooting for the hit in the ninth with a team that's 35 games under 500. Please stop. Always root for history, man.
I want to watch history.
And I do, too.
Oh, I do, too. I would be cheering for no-hitter, but I know the Royals fans are just not going to go for
that. That's, you know.
They're getting beaten up too badly
Wrong. That's just wrong.
It is wrong. Go for the no-hitter. Come on.
No. All right. It is right.
Yeah.
Because I was right.
Yeah. Who will finish the season with more home runs? The season, period. Moustakas or Perez?
In a Royals uniform?
Just the season. Because I've got a second part of the question, which is just for the Royals.
I
did two polls.
I think they'll go with Moose.
Yeah. I'll say Moose, too.
80-20. Moustakas. Well, he has three more, but he's done it in 20 fewer games.
Coming off the franchise record.
But he's not. Where they're trending right now is not.
I'm
surprised it's 80-20. I'm surprised 80-20 because he has three more home runs than him, and he's played like 25 fewer games. I mean, the trend is that Perez is going to pass him at some point because he's tailed off. I'm surprised that Moustakas got the vote, but 80-20?
Disappeared.
Listen, Moose is leading.
Yes.
And he's the greatest single-season home run hitter in the franchise history.
I think Perez is going to pass him.
You're shocked after a group of people voted yay Royals over history.
The number surprises me. 60-40, even 80-20 surprised me the number was that deep. Okay. Because who will finish the season with more home runs for the Royals?
I mean, my reaction to you is it must be nice living in a world where everything is shiny.
Oh, it is. That's generally where I live.
Yeah, I know.
Stop.
What's the question?
Who will finish the season with most home runs for the Royals, Moustakas or Perez?
Perez, because they'll figure Moose won't be here.
Well, yeah, it does get a little trickier.
Yeah, just a little.
I think they'll go Perez. They all think he's going to get traded.
Well, Salvi's the love fest.
52-48, Salvi.
So that makes more sense.
Yes.
In your world. Yes, the other one makes total sense to me.
How many games will the Royals lose this season? I check on this every couple of weeks. Oh, fewer than 100? Or 100 or more?
100 or more.
Are they still at the mark? Or
21
they,
and 40.
They're 21.
Yeah, they are definitely below the 100.
They're
loss.
Rolling.
They're
to the
more than 100 loss pace.
Yes.
They're at about a 56 win
100
pace.
Or more. They'll go 100 or more.
59-41 say 100 or more.
I'm still,
still holding that hope.
Well, I just want to see do a quick computation here.
Are you going to do math?
2 × 0.344.
Leave me
so they're on pace for 56 wins right now.
Mm-hmm.
They need to pick the pace up. They just need to have 7 wins. So they're 7 wins below the pace.
Okay.
So all they have to do is over the next 2/3 of the season, which is roughly a little less than 2/3 of the season is left, play 7 wins better.
Than they are playing now.
Yeah. Really?
They have to play 69 win pace baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That still sucks.
Yeah, still right? Bad.
They can still suck
and
dig themselves out of 100 losses.
Here's the deal. It's hard to lose 100 games.
It is.
They did it four times in 5
point.
Years is kind of amazing.
There are two things that amaze me. One, like when people look at this and go, well, the Royals are just they're going to do this the whole way. Right. And it's like, well, no, baseball, you have good months and you have bad months, the ups and downs. And at the end, you know, teams that lost 100, you know, over the course of the season, 6 months in a baseball season. Right. They didn't lose 16 games every month, which is what would get you, 17 games would get you to 100 losses. They didn't lose 17 every month. Probably lost 13 one month, 22 another, 16 another. Right. And then the other one that I love now is. Well, the Royals have been basically a 500 team here for a little while. except for the big suck in front, that is them too. Right? This just means that there's more suck to come. My only point on not on still holding out that I don't think they're going to lose 100 games is all they got to do is play at a pace that over a full year would only win them 69 games and they'll losses.
Right.
That's I mean, that's still playing really bad baseball,
yeah,
and they'll avoid 100 losses. If they play decent ball, and Keller looks like he might be stabilizing one of the rotation
right
pieces. Mm-hmm. Jorge Bonifacio is going to play for this team,
yeah,
at some point.
Right.
Theoretically, Adalberto Mondesi is going to come around. No, I still don't think they're going to lose 100 games.
Agreed. All right. When higher number when the season is over. Jacob Junis wins, Whit Merrifield home runs. Right now, Junis has 5 wins, Merrifield has 4 homers.
I know where I'm going, but I'm trailing by 1, correct?
I'll go Merrifield.
Man, it just sucks. That's the obvious one, clearly. I mean, winning 15, 16 games is hard in baseball now. And this team, as we've pointed out, blows. So Merrifield should win this thing by like 95%, but the vote will be like 70.
59-41 Merrifield.
That's low.
What's interesting?
That's low.
Somewhat interesting is I used another guy who has 4 homers, Alex Gordon, with the same question, 73-27 Junis. So they think Gordon is maybe hit his last homer.
Well,
he's been in a bit of a funk of late.
Oh, yeah. You think?
But they've like had
2+
anyway
years.
Yeah.
Had,
no, right? I mean, he was hitting 280 or whatever.
Yeah,
he looked
10
like he was,
days.
Yeah, I know. He looked like
that was the thing. Was Gordon
maybe he's
fixed?
Got it turned around. You know?
Is Gordon fixed? I don't know. For 2 years, he's sucked.
Yeah.
For 10 days, he got a couple of hits, and that's it. It's all good.
Now he's back to 250-ish. All right. And does Golden State sweep? Yes or no?
No.
I just like the complete lack of memory.
It's great.
Have you watched this game?
You guys are? Have you seen this?
What
has been out there this year?
Do the Warriors sweep?
I said no.
Well, I think the answer is no. I think it's probably Warriors in 5. I had Warriors in 6, I believe, coming into this. I now would feel Warriors in 5, but I think the fan base who, you know, all we got to do is get to 51% after what they've seen for 2 games, they're going to believe that, yes, the Warriors are going to sweep. You said no?
I said no.
I think that I believe no, but the answer that's going to win is yes.
61-39, no.
What? I love how smart our audience is.
And our final question.
Oh, boy.
Worth 3 points.
How much?
As usual.
So I'm down 2.
How much do the political leanings of players or managers/coaches affect how much you like them? A lot, a little, or not at all?
I wish you'd have gone not at all
or
a lot and seen a 50-50,
yeah,
but you've broken it so a little. Okay.
I would
say
we
do kind of.
I
just combine the other 2 numbers and measure it against not at all.
I think it affects you. I'm going to say a little.
A little?
A little.
I'm going to say people want to believe and think that they're so unbiased that they're going to say not at all is going to win.
Just show me my sport.
Right? You know, I think maybe if you'd have put in there the anthem affects you, your belief of a player, I'll bet you this would have been more divisive.
Well, I think maybe, yeah, but I think maybe
you could read it into
well,
that.
The reason I use that as a question.
The Neil, I read right away. Neil,
you're thinking of the Eagles? No,
not
going.
No, actually, the
2
things
that
got me thinking about that was the Andy Reid supporting a Republican person for Congress,
okay. Yeah, okay.
And someone sent me on Twitter that George Brett had appeared at a event. And
yeah,
Sarah Huckabee Sanders and was like, oh, I wish he didn't. I like
I
George
got a
thing
on Twitter. I like George until this, but never again.
Yeah.
I got that
yeah,
same
I saw
tweet.
That.
I got
I'm
that
like,
tweet.
He's been a Republican supporter for 35 years. This should not have been news to anybody that he would is on that side of it. He's been unabashed about. I mean, he's not been shy about where his political leanings lie.
Yeah.
It's fine. So that got me thinking about it. Well, the final end.
So you said a little?
Yeah, I said a little.
I say not at all.
Not at all wins. 48%. 41% said a little, only 11% said a lot.
Yeah.
If you combine the 2 other numbers, actually 52% said it would affect them in either a lot or a little would affect how much they like them.
When he asked the question, I thought right away about kneeling for the national anthem.
Yeah.
Now that's, you know,
well,
so I put that
and
in.
And I think part of it has to do with is there a situation going on now?
Yeah.
You know, so. All right, let's do five more minutes since Jed's over there freaking out about taking a break.
No
what do you
problem.
Think, Frank?
Well, great for me.
We'll take a break and come back, and Frank Bull
like
will,
Jake has to do with Lezak?
We'll find out what in the world, Seren, how stupid am I on current events? What in the world, Frank? What do you got for me? Go.
All right, buddy, here it is. I don't know if you saw this. A woman was arrested overnight at the K for doing what? At the K. Team was not playing there.
Sleeping. Trespassing.
Setting fires in the outfield with toilet paper on the mound and in the infield. I still
really?
Haven't seen the update on this
wow.
story.
Wow. Wow.
All right. In retaliation for U.S. tariffs, Mexico is putting a massive tariff on what import?
Guns. I don't know.
Pork.
Sure.
Okay. What part, sure. What part of the Miss America pageant is now being scrapped?
Swimsuit.
Very good.
That's an easy one to figure out.
And what percentage of teachers use their own money to buy school supplies?
Use
their own money.
60%.
94%.
I don't buy it. I
don't
do not.
You don't buy it?
No, I know teachers who talk about how they get all their stuff for home from the parents.